All right. Any idea what I'm going to be talking about this evening? I asked Lisa coming over here, I said, I gave her the song list while we were coming. And I said, do you know what I'm speaking about? And so she says, the blood. I said, that's right. I said, a lot of secular Christianity does everything they can to take the blood out of things, whether it be song titles. You just don't sing these kind of hymns because it makes people feel uncomfortable. But I said, I feel like the Lord's called me every couple of years when I have the opportunity. I'm going to preach / teach about the blood because it is essential for our salvation. And so we're going to look at some different passages in the scriptures tonight talking about the blood, whereas in the last two or three weeks in Judges, I pretty much just stayed right there in the passage that we're talking about, if y'all have noticed that, but that's not going to be the case tonight. We're going to look at several different passages where the scriptures point about how blood is essential. It's very important, and it's absolutely not gory. That's not what we're talking about, is something that would gross somebody out. But we're talking about the fact that the blood is unique to Christianity and your walk with Christ. I want us to start by turning to Hebrews 9, verse 22. And the blood in the Bible is symbolic of a couple of things. It's symbolic of life. It is symbolic of cleansing. It's symbolic of covenant. And Pastor Jim, I certainly got a lot out of your message this morning, even the Lord's Supper following today, because you reminded us of the precious blood of Christ. That has allowed us to have a relationship with Him, because He's paid the penalty that we broke the relationship from the beginning of time. And we're born into it now. So I appreciated your emphasis on the Lord's Supper today and the blood. But here in Hebrews 9:22, and if somebody wants to read, I don't like to just talk for 30 minutes and hear myself talk. So if somebody wants to read this one verse, that'd be great.
And almost all things are by the law perfect blood, without shedding of blood is no remission.
Right, it says almost all, right? It didn't say all. It said almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Well, wonder, there's some things that are not purged by blood. And one of them is water. One of them's incense. One of them's fire. So they're not purged by blood. That's just some examples. I'm sure there's more. But it said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And as far as human beings are concerned with their relationship with Jesus Christ, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We have to have forgiveness. There's not a person that can morally live the life and die and go to heaven without their accepting Christ's sacrificial blood sacrifice for their sins. That's the only way we get to heaven, is by faith, trusting in what Christ did for us at Calvary. That's why it's so important to not shy away from those type songs that reinforce scripture about the importance of the blood of our Savior. it's very central, the blood is, to understanding salvation. Adam and Eve in the garden, the Lord provided the sacrifice for them, right? For their sinful choice in disobeying God in the Garden of Eden. It took an animal sacrifice, the shedding of blood, for the Lord to overlook their sin. And all through Judaism, You see that enforced in the Old Testament scriptures about what they were required to do, right? Once the tabernacle and the temple were built, there were certain things, and there's a certain way that they had to sacrifice animals. The Lord told them how many, what kind, whether they had to be, you know, the first year, the third year, whatever. But that was something that was going to eventually point to the importance of God sending His only Son to be our sacrifice forever. That's one thing I liked about Hebrews, and still enjoy about Hebrews, is how it emphasizes, you know, the Lord set up these things that were a shadow of what was to come with the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, His Son, right? It was the best. The animal sacrifices were good, but it was not as good as the perfect sacrifice that God would provide one day for our sins, and that was His Son, Jesus. If you look at Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter number 17, Leviticus 17, and I didn't mark these places in my Bible tonight, so it's going to take me just a little while longer, maybe, than when it does when I put those little pieces of paper in my Bible. But Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Would somebody read that for us?
I will.
Okay. The blood, that's God's word, right, to the people. It was the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. At that point in time, in Leviticus, days of Moses, that was pointing to those animal sacrifices, right, that it was talking about. I always thought that I had a hard time as a young adult understanding fully, and of course none of us fully understand God's word, but what I was saying is that particular verse, I didn't quite understand it until I really got into chemistry and biology and things like that in college, because I didn't pay attention in high school to some of that. But anyway, when it came to things like the life of the flesh is in the blood, and over time, the Lord has revealed to me that, you know, that's what when somebody passes away. Eventually, sometimes a person might be under hospice care, somebody might be in an accident, whatever the case may be, when a person that has experience in whether somebody has died or not, what they're basically saying is the blood is no longer flowing through the body, right? It is stopped. And what makes that verse so interesting is it says the life of the flesh in our bodies, it's in the blood, because the blood carries all the essential components of life through our bodies to give us nourishment, to give us, as that verse says, life, right? And so when somebody passes away, their blood has stopped flowing. And so what happens when our blood is flowing? Our body temperature is warmer, right? But after a while, after that person that has been declared dead, after their heart has stopped beating, after the blood has stopped flowing, that body temperature does what? It goes down, right? Because there, those essential elements that are in the blood are no longer accomplishing their purposes. They can't, because they're not flowing through the blood vessels, right? And it might seem very elementary to you. I know how to correct the problem, though. Give me a second. As long as I never forget the code, we'll be okay. There we go. All right. So the blood stops when the heart quits beating. And therefore, the person is no longer alive. They no longer have life. So the life, it says, of the flesh is in the blood. It's the essence. You mentioned it this morning, Brother Jim, talking about what God did for Adam and Eve. You said God breathed into them, right? How'd you phrase it? You said that God breathed into Adam nostrils, right? And that caused that lifeless body to have life, because now the blood was flowing. God gave that to mankind, right? And so that started the process of life. Now, with this, God gave blood as a means of atonement. In the Old Testament, a life was given for life. The animal sacrifice had to give that life up, forfeited their life so that Adam and Eve could be forgiven, and they were given life, right? It was kind of like that covered over their sin, right? Because an animal can't fully atone for man's sins, right? That would come, of course, when Christ came. But that was to get their mindset thinking about it's necessary for sin to be, it's serious to the point that it takes a life to restore life to that person again. So, all life that the God of heaven has created, it's sacred because it all belongs to God, right? All life is sacred. We, people that live before us, the people that be coming after us, they're all sacred, important. And that's why the church should stand up for whenever government or whoever's in authority would dare take the life of a child or an unborn baby. That's an important thing that we should always want to stand for, because it's sacred to God. The blood not only represents life, but it also establishes covenant. And God makes covenants with blood. And I want us to look real quickly, if you will, to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. It says here in starting, he's having a conversation with Abram, God is. And it gets here to verse number 8 of Genesis 15. Verse 8 says, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst. So basically what he's saying is he cut them in two halves, right? Divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. They must not have had Ginsu knives that were really delicate for small animals there. So the birds didn't get cut in two, but the other animals did. And it says, verse 11, when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And it goes on and talks about how God is going to establish his covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, with Abram. So what they did to make their agreement binding is he split those animals and he walked between the midst of them. And that symbolized in their culture that so may it happen to me, in other words, death, like these animals, if I don't fulfill my end of the covenant. Okay, that's what that symbolized when it said Abram walked in the midst of them. Okay? So God makes covenants with blood, and it had consequences if you broke the covenant. And then you also see, if you turn to Exodus 24, verse number 8. Will somebody read that for me? Exodus 24, verse 8. Okay, so there you go. You have the blood that is being applied, right? And that was symbolic of the covenant between the Lord and his people, the sprinkling of the blood. And so he sealed the treaty. The Lord sealed it with blood, just like he sealed the treaty as far as our ability to be restored to Christ by having Jesus shed his precious blood at Calvary. That became our covenant between ourselves and God when we accepted what Jesus Christ did for us. And he paid a great price for you and I at Calvary. And we need to always remember what the Lord has done for us. Also, if you'll look in Luke 22, don't know if you read this verse, Brother Jen, this morning or not. Luke 22, verse 20. Somebody read that for us. Luke 22, verse 20. Christ instituting basically what we remembered this morning at Passover. They did more. I mean, this was new, the Passover meal that they had that night. I'm talking about Jesus with his disciples. When they did Passover, they don't think that their only thing they drank was this particular time. They had other things that they were remembering about the Passover, right? That they would drink. But this cup, he said, is something that is new now to you. And he says, this is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. They didn't understand it that night, what he was referring to. But after he got crucified and rose again, all these things that he had been mentioning to them, it finally came together for them and they understood. So you have the fact that you have the blood that represents life. Blood established the covenants between God and man. And Jesus Christ, his blood is the foundation of this new covenant for us. And what did that symbolize, that Christ's blood? Well, we had grace, we had forgiveness, and we now had access to God. You didn't have to go to anybody else. You had, as an individual person, the right to enter into the prayer chamber, if you will, of God Almighty, right? That's what Hebrews talked about, is because of what Christ did one time for us. We live today because Christ has now come. We live under the best covenant, and that is our security, that he has guaranteed that relationship because of Jesus Christ's blood that's been applied for our sins. And we don't have to rest on our works, because if we rested on what we've done, our works, we would still stand condemned because we're not perfect. We're not holy like Jesus Christ was holy. He commands us to be holy, strive for holiness with His strength and power. But Christ died for us to give us, as you've said before, Brother Jim, and I hate to keep mentioning your name, but just, these thoughts keep coming to my brain. Christ's blood didn't mean we would never sin anymore. What it did say is, you now have a relationship with me that if you'll just abide by the things I've asked you to do, and when you fail, and when you don't practice righteousness, we still have an opportunity to make it right and to ask our holy Heavenly Father for forgiveness. And it talks about in the Scriptures how He is a faithful God that will by no means say, nope, you went one too many. Not going to do it anymore. The Bible talks about if we ask God to forgive us, He hears our prayers and welcomes us back into fellowship with Him again. Amen. Look at Hebrews 9:12. Anybody read that for us? Hebrews 9:12.
Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption.
See, isn't that wonderful verse? Having attained eternal redemption, not yearly redemption that the priest would do once a year, right? Eternal redemption for us. I'm glad we don't have to go through that system. I'm glad that Christ has come and that we don't, we were just talking about that after you found out what I was talking about tonight. If Christ hadn't come yet, if He hadn't, I wonder what in the world our world would be like right now as far as if Jesus hadn't come yet. I mean, we would be under the Old Testament laws, right? As far as animal sacrifices. That's where I'm going with this. Right? Can you imagine that? In the world in which we live in today, what that would be like? That's just hard to kind of wrap your mind around. But praise the Lord, He has come. And He's purchased eternal redemption for us. It doesn't have to be done again, because what He did was acceptable in God the Father's sight. And He only had to do it once because He was perfect, holy, without sin. And that's just wonderful. Just think, if you know Jesus Christ, you'll get to see your Savior, the one that did this over 2,000 years ago for you. Face to face, the hymn talks about seeing our Savior face to face. I think that's wonderful. How merciful our God is. All right, so we've talked about blood representing life, blood establishing covenants, and blood, as we just read here, in Hebrews 9:12, blood brings forgiveness. Kind of interesting when it talks about Jesus being the best sacrifice and the only sacrifice that would be acceptable for our sins. The sacrificer was the sacrifice. It talks about in that verse, He performed His high priestly duty, right? That would be the one that was going to do the sacrifice, the sacrificer, which Jesus Christ was. And then yet he offered himself as our sacrifice. Kind of interesting wording there if you think about it. The sacrificer was our sacrifice. That's why it talks about prophet, priest, and king. He performed all of those duties. Our Lord Jesus did for us. And of course, the Old Testament priests, which I mentioned about a while ago, they had to offer those sacrifices continually. Not just the high priest, but the other Levites and others that were associated with sacrifices. They had to do this daily. I can imagine just the stench of death involved in that area. I'm sure it would have been unpleasant. But yet Jesus' sacrifice was once and for all. Forgiveness is very costly. It was for the animal sacrifice system. Because back then, you know, of course, I imagine if you steal a cattle today, they'll probably still look for your hide, right? Just like they did in the Wild Wild West days, right? Cattle and animals was very prized assets. And today, there's still people that would get very upset if you were to take one of their prized animal possessions, right? Very costly. But Jesus paid that awesome price for you and I by offering his own life for us. So when you feel guilty, when you feel beaten down or condemned, remind yourself, you are forgiven. And I want us to look at 1 John 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Kind of like you were talking about today in the message. Family. So if we're as individuals striving to live in the light and we're encouraging our other family members to do the same. It says we have fellowship one with another and, of course, with Christ also, if we're doing that. And it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses from sin, and it continually is occurring as we confess our sins. He's continually forgiving us of poor decisions. And that's a merciful God that would do that. And we need to grasp the overwhelming love that we can't fully grasp because we don't have it completely in this world, do we? But the blood, it cleanses and it transforms us. Cleansing is not just outwardly, but it's inwardly occurring. It removes shame and it restores fellowship with God. Look, if you will, only got two more references and we're through. Revelation chapter 12. Verse number 11. Somebody read that for us. Revelation chapter number 12, verse 11. Okay? So you remember whenever in the Old Testament it was talking about the interaction there was between Satan and God in heaven with regarding Job. Remember that Job says, you know, the only reason why, you know, he loves you is because you basically just, you know, given him everything that he, you know, could possibly want. You blessed him tremendously, but if certain tests was put on him, he'd probably curse you to your face, or he would depart. Well, it says here in Revelation that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, number one, by the word of their testimony, the way they lived and conducted their lives. And they loved not their lives unto the death. So what is that saying? For us that have received Christ as Savior, Satan can't accuse you and I to the Lord. He can't, because Christ knows who his children are, and he says, they're mine. You can't have them. And that should be a comfort to you and me, because the Lord will not lose anything that he has possessed in a love relationship where he has redeemed somebody from darkness into his family of light. The blood not only saves us, but it empowers us to walk in victory over sin. And that's what it said there in the middle of that verse, by the word of their testimony, their conduct, their manner of living was for the Lord. And the blood gives us bold access. And here's the last verse tonight is going to be in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Because of Jesus' high priestly ministry and his finished sacrifice, that's why we can enter not pridefully or cocky, but confidently enter into the prayer chamber, if you will, between you and God. You can do it because of what Christ has done for you and done for me. We can have access. He doesn't say, well, you've got to do this and that and this other. No. You have the right to talk to the Lord at any moment in time. And that's a great promise. And we have confidence because the Bible talked about the curtain was torn in two, right? When Christ gave up the ghost, finished his work, it says it was torn from, not where man could do it, but it said it was torn from the top to the bottom. That was an act of God the Father that allowed that to happen. So now we can approach God with confidence, not fearfully. So when we pray, we don't come in our own worthiness. We're not worthy to come to a holy God at all. But we're allowed to because of Christ's blood that's been applied to our account. So the blood of Jesus is life, it's covenant, it's forgiveness, it's cleansing, it's access. Without it, Christianity would be nothing but powerless ritual. That's what a lot of religions are, is just a lot of rituals that really have no power behind them. But with the blood of Christ, we have living hope each and every day. So live daily under the blood, trust in his sacrifice. Walk in freedom, not bondage, and overcome through Christ's blood that's already been applied to your account. Let's sing two more songs. Any questions, comments?